I hope just after the game, she just looks at herself in the mirror, like as she's holding her two kids, and she's like, you are that girl. Like, I hope she says those affirmations, because it is.
I'm a bad Mama Gemma.
Shut your mouth.
No doubt.
Yes.
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And court is in session. Boom!
Ooh. Order in the court.
Oh, I'm excited about this one.
We got a lot to talk about in the court today. And I just want to start because Miss Cheryl Swoops, you are a busy bee. You are everywhere. Everywhere. The queen bee of busyness and traveling. You have your shirt that says queen on today, as you should always. But when we talked last week, you were in the Bahamas. So you're doing a basketball camp in the Bahamas. And then in our text chain, you're like, oh, nope, I'm in New York now. And I thought you were there. And then I was watching the Sky and Fever game and you popped up on my TV screen and you're in Chicago.
I was there. I was in all of those places.
In 1 week, I have gone from my room to the living room to maybe like down the street to the gym. But that's as far as I've gone in this week since our last recording.
Okay, this week. But don't act this like week. You just be sitting at home either.
True. Be, this
what
week.
Is it, what is it that, that they say today? You be outside.
Sometimes I do. If the money out there, I do go.
Girl, but go get
I loved seeing you on my screen at the Chicago game against the Indiana Fever. But I loved more the videos of people who were in the arena when they showed you on the Jumbotron.
Oh.
And you, it was a standing ovation, which I'm watching this on my phone, clapping myself because you deserve a standing ovation. But how did that feel? Because I saw even when the camera was on you, you were shocked at it because it stayed on you for so long. But that was because the roaring applause. So how did that feel?
Okay. So I know people can't see, but I'm like fanning my eyes because I don't want the tears to come. It was so unexpected. You know, usually when you go to a game as a like retired former player, 9 times out of 10, they're going to show you, right? So people can, yay, thank you, appreciate. So no one from the Sky said they were going to do that. But then I was like in my feelings because they put Jason Sudeikis up there. They put Chance the Rapper. I was like, oh, okay, that's what we doing? No, but seriously, then when they came over, the couple that I was sitting next to, they were like, uh-oh, here they come. It's your turn, right? So I was prepared just to be on camera. I was going to wave and, you know, show my appreciation. And Jordan, when I tell you, like, I got goosebumps. I was really like trying to hold in the tears because it was so unexpected. It was so special. It was so loud. And I will say this, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't remember the other ones getting that type of standing ovation.
You ain't wrong. No, they stayed on you for a lot longer than everybody else. And it was special.
Oh my God. It was so special. And so I'm going to take this time to say to the Sky, to the city of Chicago, to all the fans that showed up for the game and was in the building, like y'all made me feel so good. I said my heart was full. It was, I don't know. It was so, I really got emotional. I was like, oh my God, all of this is for me. Aww. It was really, really special. It was.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you felt that way because just watching the video up and down my timeline or just having it flash on TV, I'm so happy you felt that way. And I know we're going to talk about the game, because the game itself was incredible. Ooh. It was amazing. But yeah, also just the moment with Angel Reese after the game. And, you know, it's an ESPN broadcast, and I love that they got that hug on television with you and Angel Reese after the game. And I swear, somebody tweeted this too, but we were all in that hug. Like, that was a deep hug. That was a different hug. It wasn't a, oh, good game hug. This was a, I love you hug. And I know, what were you feeling in that moment? Because that was special. She beelined for you in that moment. It,
again, so not expected. And the crazy thing is that there was a point in the game, probably the fourth quarter, when they were coming back, and Angel, I know we'll get to the game, played her mind off. But she made eye contact with me at one point, and like, she was talking to me about the game. And so I just pointed right back at her, like, I see you, right? So when she came over, I totally didn't expect it. But in that moment, like, when she hugged me and I hugged her, the best part for me was when, like, we were looking at each other in the eyes. And I really felt like a proud mom in that moment. And so for you to say it was, you know, like I'm proud of you. Honestly, it was that, but it was also a, like, I got you. You know what I mean? Like I got your back. I'm here for you. Whatever you need, whatever I can do. But I don't know. It was that moment also was very touching for me. It was very special for me, because Holly Rose, they're trying to get her to do this interview. And she was like,
I know. And I've been in Holly Rose's position before, working, trying to bring someone to an interview, because you have a producer in your ear saying, okay, we got to get it. We got to get it. We got to get out. But I was more worried about the hug and your guys' moment. And I love that she was like, I am taking this moment because I am in the presence of a legend and I am able to say thank you. And she actually was asked about it after the game. About your guys' conversation. So here's what she said in the press conference.
But she said she's proud of me. Being able to have a legend. I mean, already being coached by a legend, but being able to have Cheryl Swoops in your corner. She talked to me before I even entered my name into the draft, and she told me she believed in me. And knowing coming into the league, having somebody that's played in the league, has done great things, has won championships, and being able to have that person in my corner is something that I've always needed. She understands me. She knows what I've been through, what I'm going through. And just being able to have that is just something that it's been super inspiring for me, and somebody that's been a great mentor.
Oh, wow.
I just saw that this morning. I had no idea.
What? That is so special. I just love you guys' relationship. I tweeted when you guys had your hug moment. I was like, I can't wait to talk to you about it, because I know throughout how much we have these bigger conversations of what's happening in the WNBA. And when we talked about Angel, you know, when we covered her in the Final Four, there's bigger conversations to be had, and there's mentors that will, you know, I'm sure she's going to ask you about her game and the X's and O's of that, and what you need to work on in the off season, and what's working, what are the matchups and all those things. But there's another game. There's a game within the game of being a Black woman and navigating this sport as a professional. And I just love that she has Teaspoon there every day, but also has someone like you there to help guide her, and for her to be able to listen and want that mentorship. Yeah. You know, not everybody wants that. So I think that speaks volumes of Angel and both of you guys. I think you are the perfect mentor for her. So I just love this.
No, you got me shedding tears over here.
Fangirling over this friendship right now.
You got me shedding tears. You know, the thing is, Jordan, and you said it, as a Black woman in any profession, right? And a Black woman in this world, like, we have to deal with so much and we have to fight so many different battles. And Angel, being a young lady who hasn't even lived her life, right? It's just beginning. And all the ugliness and the evilness and the hatefulness that she's dealing with on a day-to-day basis, it has nothing to do with basketball. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with life and with the color of her skin, like if we're being honest, you know? And so as a Black woman who's been there and has been through a lot of the stuff that Angel is going through right now and will continue to go through, it's important to me that I am there. And this isn't just for her, but it's for anybody that wants to listen, that needs that wants that. And I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you do, back, like, I don't know, a while back when we were talking about the draft and, mm-hmm. you know, how their games would translate. And I said then that I wish Angel would have stayed one more year, right? Yeah. Just to be able to work on her offensive game and her post game.
Yeah, we agree on that.
And I also had that conversation with Angel. So when she says I talked to her before the draft, like that was a conversation we had and she was very receptive. And she said, you know, like, I know I'm going to start at the bottom and I want to. I got a lot to learn. So it was nothing like me saying she's not good enough, right? Mm-hmm. It was more about, yeah, she could use some more work. But I will tell you this. Angel Reese right now, and I know we're going to get into the game.
Let's get to it, because
she's doing exactly what she did in college.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If not more or better. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's one thing to watch her on TV, but to be there in person is a completely different animal. Because you can't see all the trash talking and all the dog she got in her, because she has all of that. To be there in person and witness that, like, I was impressed. I was mm-hmm. very impressed.
Mm-hmm. Well, she said she got that dog in her. You can't teach that. And she has 8 straight double-doubles. She's in her own WNBA record now as a rookie. And I think it's one thing we did agree on, even though we said we were not sure, maybe one more year on the offensive end, in the same breath, we knew the rebounding was going to translate, because that is effort and energy and all of that. And you can see that has a direct correlation to the Sky's success. The Chicago Sky were down. Fever are playing great. We talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. They are playing so well. Aaliyah Boston is playing well. Caitlin Clark set a new franchise record with 13 assists. Almost all of Aaliyah Boston's points came from Caitlin's passes. They were slicing and dicing. But Angel Reese, it just seemed like there was a moment where she said, we're not going to lose this game. And mm-hmm. she put the team on her back, and it was rebounding. It was effort. It was on the defensive end. And then she was finishing around the rim. Like, she was efficient this game. And I think this Angel Reese from even the beginning of the season is completely different. So how exciting that Chicago got their first win of this series between the Fever, 88-87. I don't know if it's a rivalry. We've been throwing that word around a lot, but I wouldn't mind seeing it every week. I'll say that.
I'm going to say it is, right? Like, this is a game I can watch once a week.
It is so much fun. Absolutely. So much fun. So they did that. And the basketball was good. And these are 8 and 9 seeded teams. We're going to talk about the whole standings later. This isn't number 1 versus 2. This felt like a playoff game. The crowd was into it. What?
Chicago showed up and showed out. The atmosphere was so electric. So my brother went with me and he was like, dang, like this, like the energy was so good. He was just like, does this game have to end? Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I was like, I wouldn't have been mad if they would have gone overtime.
I wouldn't have been mad either. My heart was like,
give me more.
My blood pressure was high. I know it, but it was exciting. And when you think about it, like, this is the future of the league. Like, these teams are going to be battling for years and years to come. But yeah, we talked about how great Indiana looked. They were in full control of that game. Kelsey Mitchell balled out per usual, just making tough shots, and was also just really efficient. But yeah, Chicago rallied late. Kennedy Carter is must watch basketball. I don't know who can guard her first step. Like, honestly, like, she is really, really good at basketball. I'm all about this Chicago Sky team because they're just fun. And I can't wait. I think August 30th, clear your schedules. That's when they're playing again. Just to tell everybody to watch the game, because if you like basketball, if you like trash talk between Angel and Alyssa Smith, which goes back to Baylor and Maryland, by the way.
History,
but it's fun history. Like, they don't hate each other.
It's fun. It is fun. I loved when they were lined up on the free throw line, and at one point when Alyssa did Angel was too small. And Angel had no idea. Angel didn't see it, right?
Ooh, interesting.
Her teammates told her in a timeout what Alyssa did. But immediately Angel went down and got her in one.
Yeah.
And she turned and looked and said, "Get the expletive out of here," right? Went to the free throw line, shot it, made it. But I liked when they were lined up next to each other. They're going back and forth, right? I love it. It's basketball. So the ref went over and started saying something, and Alyssa waved her off.
I know. She's like, "Get out of here. We're fine.
Let us have our moment. We're good. We ain't swinging on nobody. We're good." But, you know, I know a lot of people, when they see this game, they immediately say Angel versus Caitlin, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's the Sky versus the Fever. Sky versus the Fever. But the matchups, right? Which you said it, Alyssa and Angel, Aaliyah and Camilla.
Yes.
Like, just to look at those four players. I'll just say those four players alone, they're young, got so much more left in the tank, a whole long career ahead of them. I am here for all of it, because it is so exciting to watch these two teams play.
We're going to press pause on this conversation, and when we come back, we're going to talk all-star voting and other news around the league. Welcome back. Let's talk All-Star fan voting. We got some early return votes for the All-Star game. Just a reminder, fan voting goes through June 29th, so these are not the final votes. And, you know, we're sitting here talking about how much we love it. The fans clearly love it too. Angel Reese is at 7 already. Caitlin Clark is at 2 with over 200,000 votes. Asia Wilson came in, you know, first place with fan votes, and there's still going to be media involved, players, coaches, all that is still going to be in the mix. But the fans, they want to see more of Angel Reese, and they want to see Kate Martin too, which I love.
Let's go, Kate. Let's go, Kate.
Kate Martin All-Star campaign. Let's go. But how are you feeling about some of the names that have popped up for the early voting in All-Star?
Okay. First of all, Asia Shaniqua Wilson. Number one, are you surprised?
I am not.
To me, she's right where she needs to be, because Asia Wilson is having one of the best seasons ever. Mm-hmm. So instead of me talking about, because we can go down the list and look at where players are, instead of me talking about who is on this list, I want to talk about who's not.
Okay.
And this kind of goes back to a conversation you and I had when we first started talking about All-Star voting, right? When it was like, do you vote for the Olympians? Mm-hmm. Right. I get it. I know to have that title of Asia played in, just example, Asia played in 10 All-Star games. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, that means something. But the part I was concerned about when I look at the first round of votes, I think is happening. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, Kayla McBride should not be 30th. Kayla McBride is having an incredible season. Kayla should be much higher. Mm-hmm. I think Skylar should be much higher. So we can go down this list. And I'm going to say this. Dejanay Carrington should be an All-Star. Mm-hmm. Dejanay Carrington is having a hell of a season. So I think because people are voting for the Olympians, it's taking votes away from the players who aren't Olympians.
Mm.
How is Kennedy Carter, I'm not even going to give her middle name, how is Kennedy Carter not on this list?
I know. There's so many people having all-star caliber have like the first start to the season. And so it makes it really, really tough. But I get what you're saying, especially when there's a number next to it. You know, I think when there is just a list, we can say, oh, we don't really know how many votes the Olympians are taking away. But when you see the number next to it, you're like, okay, yeah. If all of those people were able to vote for someone else to make or to be on team WNBA. So I see how you got there. But I think this first early look just proves that it's going to be really exciting for the matchup team WNBA versus team Olympian. It's going to be great. I like it. Our producer Alex said, thoughts on Diana Taurasi not being on this list. So this is the top 30 that she pasted in here. She and Chelsea Gray are the only non-Olympians not on it.
Huh. Well, no surprise for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, Chelsea hasn't played, so that would make sense. I didn't even realize Diana not being on it. I didn't even realize that. I think I just kind of assumed she would be. But that's interesting. That's really interesting when I think about it.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that.
I didn't either.
But all the other Olympians are. Huh. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, since we're talking about Diana, I want to go the opposite way and talk about the rookies, right? Because mm-hmm. you got Caitlin at number 2, Angel at 7, Brink at 11, Kate Martin at 12,
Camilla, 16. Yeah.
Rakia, 25. Like,
has that ever happened? Like, that many rookies?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because it was a big deal for Aaliyah Boston to make the All-Star team last year.
Yeah, yes. It sure was.
Yes. Huh. But this is the fans. The fans, they're bringing in new fans. They're bringing in their own followers, their own audiences, and this push of voting that, you know, there's all of these campaigns that are going around from different teams. But that's an interesting point with all the rookies. They could have an all rookie team, which at the NBA they do. Yeah. They have rookies versus sophomores. That could be fun.
Could be interesting.
All right.
Y'all need to vote. Vote.
It's still going on. I want to know who you guys are voting for. Who's off this list that, you know, someone we didn't mention? Let us know, because that's going to be a whole nother conversation of snubs and starters and all of that. But I think it's valid because there's so many people playing all-star caliber seasons.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So moving on to another newsy topic. We're recording this on Monday, and the Commissioner's Cup Championship presented by Coinbase is Tuesday night on Amazon Prime Video, 8 p.m. Eastern, Minnesota Lynx versus the New York Liberty. I can't wait. I think, first of all, can I tell you my theory?
Do tell.
So Unrivaled is really making their marketing push. They, for, you know, the league that is founded by Breanna Stewart and Nafisa Collier. I feel like this is a part of their marketing. This is really best case scenario to have both of these go up against each other. Am I right? I feel like this really worked out.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it can't hurt. Like, you,
it really worked
you
out.
You couldn't write it and plan it any better.
No, the script is scripting. This is great. Great for them. But two UConn, former UConn greats, I mean, they're just going to battle each other. It's going to be amazing. The last time these two teams have played each other, they played each other once at the end of May. The Lynx kind of took care of business against the Liberty. They won 84-67. Nafisa had 15 and 12. Stewie had 20 points, but JJ only had 4 points in that game. She had in some foul trouble early. And the Vandersloot Courtney Williams matchup actually turned out to be in spotlight. Sloot winning that 12.6 assists. But since that matchup in the end of May, the Lynx have only lost twice to Vegas and Phoenix, and the Liberty have only lost once to Phoenix. It's going to be the number one defense right now, Minnesota, versus the number one offense in the Liberty. So both of these teams just playing really good basketball right now, Cheryl.
Whew, boy, that was a lot.
Sorry. I just added all those notes.
But I mean, like, context. A lot of good stuff. It's a lot of good stuff, right?
Yeah.
And all of that's good to know for people who may not necessarily follow basketball, but you have the number one defensive team in the Lynx going up against the number one offensive team in the Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
So what's it going to come down to? Who plays the best defense or who can score the most points? Well, always you got to score the most points. But I know we talked about earlier, you picked the Liberty. I really think Minnesota, I think they're going to upset the Liberty.
Mm.
I do. I just, but it's also tough because both of these teams are playing really, really, really good right now. I think Stewie and Nafisa will pretty much kind of cancel each other out. But if Jonquel shows up and can play, because when Jonquel Jones decides that she's going to dominate and she plays ball, she is absolutely unguardable when she decides to do that.
Yeah. I think the bench too for the Liberty are playing extremely well. They're shooting really well. I think Sabrina Ionescu is playing super well. We talked about her last week.
Yes.
Around the rim, besides shooting threes. So I don't think Sabrina had an incredible game the first time they met. And it's about, you know, both of these teams at the end of May to the end of June are so different. Like, they have really figured each other out, and with rotations and everything like that. So I love this new format of the Commissioner's Cup, just having it all back to back and then having this kind of, I don't know, first quarter of the season check-in to see where teams are at. And I think both of these, I think they got it right. Like, these are the two best teams that are playing the best basketball right now to square off. And also there's a little money on the line. So that makes
it interesting.
And I think you play different. If it's a regular season game versus playing for some money, you're going to play a little different. So I also like that aspect to it as well.
Without question, somebody is going to be talking to JJ like, first of all, stay out of foul trouble.
Yes.
We want the dub, but we want the bag a little bit more.
We want the bag more.
That's a nice bag they're playing for, Jordan. It's a nice bag. 500,000
buckaroonies. Yeah. A lot of moolah. And the Liberty won it last year.
That's a nice Chanel they playing for right now.
Nice purse. A little context also for this game, because what you're playing for is, yes, to clinch from the East and from the West, but you're also playing for home court advantage. Like, you're trying to score more points and, you know, beat everybody. The New York Liberty were undefeated but they're not going to get home court advantage. They're going to be playing at the UBS Arena in Elmont, New York. And I did a little Google Maps. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. And I should have known better. Like, I live in LA. I looked at the map. I'm like, oh, that's not that far. That doesn't look that far from Brooklyn. Yeah, it was all red from the traffic. It was an hour and 15 minutes, like an hour on the train. And I was like, my LA brain should have known better. Nothing seems close on a map or what it actually is. So it's not home court advantage, really, I feel like, at all. But especially to all those season ticket holders that were going to be excited to be at Barclays, they got to make the trip. It was a scheduling conflict. The NBA draft is going to be happening at Barclays on Wednesday. So they need 2 days to load everything in. And the game would have interrupted that. So the Liberty alerted the WNBA. This is according to ESPN's Alexa Philippou. There was going to be a conflict, but it just, they tried to move the game. They tried to move it a week later, tried to move it up a day. That's where we're at. It's where we're at. So
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But what do you do?
You can't do anything. You got to ball out.
You do.
Money's on the line. The money's still green.
It is a neutral site.
Yeah.
And
essentially.
And unfortunately for the Liberty. Not to say that they can't win, but it makes a difference if you're playing on the road or at home.
Mm-hmm.
It just does.
It does. It does. But we'll see. That's on Tuesday night, Amazon Prime. Can't wait to see those. Cheryl says the Lynx. I got the Liberty. I think I don't think JJ is going to score 4 points again. And Stewie's going to Stewie. So I got the Liberty. But we'll see.
Stewie's going to Stewie.
Stewie's going to Stewie. Other news. Speaking of people who going to do what they going to do, Chelsea Gray is back on the basketball court. She suited up this week for the Aces for the first time this season. And I think it was like 17 seconds of her being on the court, she got an assist, like probably record time of her just making an incredible pass. That's what she did after missing the first.
The behind the back.
It's all good. Everything that Chelsea Gray does is pretty, pretty. She's really good at basketball. The Aces are 2-0 since her return. Cheryl, do you think that is a coincidence? Because I don't.
No, not at all. And, you know, we talked about this. I know I was like, they're missing a piece. And, of course, Chelsea Gray is a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I was like, they're still missing another scorer or something, right? But Chelsea Gray coming back, doing what Chelsea Gray does, you know, and she just gives them the confidence. She calms everything, even Asia. Like, she even calms Asia, like, sis, we good. I'm back. I got it.
Yes.
No, it's not a coincidence. That's who Chelsea Gray is.
Everyone's game elevated. I think I saw the most immediate reaction, I guess, from Kelsey Plum, just looking more like, okay, I can score. I don't have to, I know the ball's going to come to me eventually. Like, I don't have to bring it up or set the offense.
Yep.
It just seemed like a boulder off of her shoulders, which is what we already knew. But Chelsea Gray coming back after suffering a left foot injury in game 3 of last year's WNBA finals. So this is the first time we're seeing Chelsea play basketball in a really long time. But yeah, everybody better watch out. They had their time to go up against the Aces. Yeah. I think now it's they're looking like they're back-to-back ways, unfortunately, for everyone else.
Well, and I know it's going to still take her some time, right, to get her legs under her and, you know, just to get back into basketball game playing shape. But she's also going to be rested for like the second half of the season.
Yeah. That's
yep.
A good point.
She's going to go to the Olympics. She's, you know, going to play in the Olympics. And depending on, you know, how the games go, she probably will be able to rest there also, because, you know, I mean, the first few games,
yeah, we got
we
this.
Typically win by 30 or 40.
We got this.
So she's going to get that rest. Then she'll come back to the W and she is going to be ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in the same breath that we talk about how excited we are for someone coming back from an injury, the big, big news. And I got so emotional reading this news, but Cameron Brink suffered an ACL tear and my heart just broke for her. Mm-hmm. Like everyone, first of all, ACLs, they suck. What do? What's their purpose? Why are they here? Just the rookie season that she was having, yes, but it being the Olympics and she was set to be on the 3x3 team. We just talked about how excited we are. We just talked about how perfect she was for this team and how she has been working for this in the FIBA 3x3 circuit all the way up until now. And
it injury, sucks.
It just sucks. Like, yeah. That is the only way to describe it.
There's no other word. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm sure she will not only get another opportunity for 3x3, but Cam Brink will eventually be on a U.S. Olympic team.
Yeah.
I do believe that. But I was going to say, a lot of people don't even get that one shot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she, and you could see in the video, right, when they presented her with the jersey, how she bawled. And I was like, oh, my God, I feel you. And so it hurt. Like, it so hurt me when we found out that it was an ACL. Mm. Cam, keep your head up.
Yeah, we love you, Cam.
Yeah.
You are sweetest human. She already posted on Instagram, just trying to have the best attitude that you can. But I just hope her village is surrounding her and reminding her, you know, she said delayed, not denied.
Yeah.
You're going to come back. You're going to be stronger, but it still just sucks. And it's okay for it to suck. Like, it's just bad. It was announced earlier today that De'Erica Hamby, her Sparks teammate, is going to be her replacement for the Olympic roster. Hamby has done great in 3x3 all season long. She just played recently in the AmeriCup and hit the buzzer beater for USA to win gold. So I'm really, really happy for her. It's just a double edge, especially for Sparks. Like, oh, we're so sorry for you, Cam. But yay, De'Erica, because you're playing out of your mind. So, yes. Sad news for Cameron Brink, but really happy for Hamby. Also, the Sparks signed Queen Egbo for, you know, a hardship contract. And in the game against the Liberty, they flew her there from Texas that morning at midnight. She knew that she was going to play the game the next day. They overnighted a jersey that was Carly Samuelson's old jersey, and they had to sew duct tape or like tape on the back. Her name wasn't even on the jersey yet. I was like, Sparks, let's just close it up. Let's end it now.
What? Oh my gosh, so I missed all of that.
That was so
Holly
did a great sideline report, because I was like, girl, how are you playing in this game? And it's not like she was on the bench. She was playing. She was playing minutes.
I missed all of that. Don't do that.
Okay. Lastly, before we kick it to break, we just want to send our love to Courtney Vandersloot. We gave her a shout out a few episodes ago because we didn't know what she was dealing with, but just wanted to send our love. She was out for personal reasons, but we learned that her mother, Jan, has just passed away following a 2-year battle with cancer. The Liberty had a moment of silence ahead of the team's game against those Sparks. Our hearts just break for you, Sloot, but She is back in New York. We don't know when she's going to play. We don't care. I'm just happy she was home with her family. Yeah. And yeah, Sloot, we're sending you some love.
Much love. Yeah, this one hits way too close to home for me.
Yeah.
You know, lost my mom to her battle with cancer as well. So I know the pain that she's dealing with right now. And Sloot, just sending you the biggest, biggest of hugs right now and lifting you up in prayer, and stay strong. And when you're ready, we will be here ready to watch you hoop some more. But much love to you.
Much love to you, Sloot. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the standings, see what's cooking from first place to 12th place. All right, we're back. And the standings. Here are the standings. Quick run through. Number one, the Liberty. Number two, the Sun. At number three, the Lynx. Number four, the Seattle Storm. The Las Vegas Aces are at number five. Number six, the Phoenix Mercury. Number seven, the Atlanta Dream. At eight, Chicago Sky. Nine, Indiana Fever. 10, the Los Angeles Sparks. 11, the Mystics. And 12, the Dallas Wings. Where do you want to start? Which tier do you want to start with? Because I have some thoughts.
Yeah. Let's start with the bottom.
Let's start with the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your state. Texas. What's up with Texas?
This ain't Texas. Ain't no hold up. Listen, what? Don't put that on my state. Don't put that on my state. Whew, girl.
11 straight losses. They haven't won a game since May. Do you remember what happened in May? I barely do. But that's when they won a game.
Really?
Yes.
It's been that long?
Yes. I just wrote about it. WNBA Power Rankings, WNBA.com. Shameless plug. But they didn't win a game in Commissioner's Cup play. Of course, you have to look at the injury report is as long as a CVS receipt. It's getting out of hand. Even Arike was off a day for Achilles soreness. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on? Maddie Seegers just broke her finger. So,
oh wow,
that is a part of it. But what else is going on, you think? I don't know.
I'm going to sound like a broken record.
They need a point guard.
They need a point guard. I'm not saying that solves all of the problems, but it's a great place to start. It's a really good place to start. And to your point, yes, they have been dealing with injuries, right? You lose Natasha Howard at the beginning of the season, who's a big part of your team. Satu hasn't played at all.
No. Yeah.
Big
part. Natasha Howard is back, but yeah, getting her legs under. She had 26 points the other night, but they would be very much out of the playoffs and in the lottery if the season ended right now. And I don't think I would have guessed that at the top of May.
No. I mean, we talked about, like, I thought Dallas had some really good pieces, but let's also look at what they did last year. They made the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm. Somehow.
And you pretty much have the same team with the exception of a point guard in Odyssey Sims.
The campaign is so strong. You need buttons.
I am more shocked that Dallas is sitting at the very bottom of the league than I am anything else. Because I think when you look at the Mystics, I think the Mystics are right where we kind of thought they were going to be. right?
Yeah. But also so much better than their record reflects, because they have been in a lot of those games. Like, yep, they have given almost, yep, every team above them a run for their money. And I'm not saying Dallas hasn't, but I think the Mystics, it's like, dang, you guys are good. Just a lot of team. They're just better. You know, they just have one more, yeah, piece. Or, yep, you know, Brittany Sykes being back for one game showed just how great the Mystics can be. And they're, you know, they're on a little bit of a streak right now. They're playing great basketball, but it is where we thought they were going to be. We thought they were going to be, you know, outside looking in to the playoffs. I think the Sparks too. Indiana sitting at that ninth spot. They're climbing. They had a just the hardest schedule ever to kick off the season. So now that they're getting their groove and they've had practice, like I've said before, they're trending in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, Jordan, and it helps when you're able to get some rest in practice.
I know.
It really does. And unfortunately, Indiana, they just kind of put them out there and said, all right, got the number one draft pick, here you go. Well, everybody's here, so you're going to play every other day.
Good luck.
So, but you can see it, right? They, mm-hmm, they look rested. They don't look as tired. But I also think one of the biggest differences for this Indiana Fever team, they're finally playing through Aaliyah Boston.
Mm-hmm. Inside out. It looks great.
And it's they're playing through Aaliyah. Aaliyah is doing what Aaliyah does. She's also making the right reads, kicking the ball out when she needs to. Nelissa and Aaliyah together are playing well. And they're doing this right now without Fagbinley.
I know.
I love her game. I love Fagbinley's game.
That's going to only add to it when she comes back.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially Kelsey Mitchell has, yeah, found her stroke. And, mm-hmm, you know, we talked about Angel in that game yesterday, Sunday. And just how dominant she was and how great it was to watch her double-double again. But I also want to say, Caitlin, to me right now, one of the best things she's doing is distributing the basketball, mm-hmm, like getting it to who it needs to get to, when it needs to get there. But also early on, she would pass and she would just kind of stand, mm-hmm, and wait for it to come back to her. Now she's passing the ball. She's getting rid of it. And she's actually like, she's moving without the basketball. Mm-hmm. They're, mm-hmm, finding her. They're setting screens. She's able to come off the screen. And that to me is when she's deadly, is when she's able to come off a screen and just catch and shoot and not have to worry about, I got to go create for everybody. Like, she's finally finding her groove and getting into the pros, mm-hmm, right? Like, yeah, just getting out of the mindset of, I had to do all of these things when I was at Iowa if we wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that now because you have some really good pieces around you. So to your point, this Indiana Fever team, they absolutely are trending in the right direction. And I don't know. Anything can happen.
And I think they should be ecstatic to be on that bubble of the playoffs because, you know, if it comes down to it, which I hope, come on, script writers, give it to us. A Chicago Sky, Indiana playing for the bubble, the last playoff, yeah, spot. Are you kidding, yeah, me? Like, I didn't think we'd get this so soon, but I would be here for it. That would be a lot of fun. But as we keep moving from the bottom up, the Atlanta Dream. Ryan Howard, you know, it looks like an ankle injury. She's sidelined right now, but in that same, you know, exchange, they get Jordan Canada back, who's only played one game back this week. I think that's going to help them a lot. And I have just been waiting for her to get back to, so Atlanta's pace can pick up. Cause I just think, yeah, that's, I know they were leading the league in pace last year, but you add Atina Charles, who kind of slows you down, but in a good way. Like, she wants the ball where she wants it, and she's gonna distribute it, and they're gonna try to go through her. But when you add Jordan Canada, who can also add that defense of presence for you guys, I think they're going to start trending up. But right now, I am constantly scratching my head. I don't know what team is going to show up each night.
Yeah, I had to stop watching them the other day.
Yeah.
Because they have way too much talent.
Yeah.
To not be any better. And the other day when I watched them play, it was so hard to watch. Mm. Right. So I just had to stop watching. But here's my thing. Yes, without question, getting Jordan Canada back changes this team. It definitely makes them a better team. But my question is not even a question. This is more of a statement. If you have your players, right? Like, your players are playing and they're not getting it done for whatever reason. And so you keep trying different pieces. And as a coach, that's what you do. You try to put the five on the floor that can give you something, mm-hmm. right? That can change the game, bring some energy, defense, whatever. Especially when it's just a bad game and you're not getting anything from anybody else. So I had the opportunity to watch LA play, Amihir play in AU. And I thought she played really well. Mm-hmm. Like, she had some really good showings. I'm just confused as to why she's not getting any minutes.
Yeah.
Because I think what she can bring, I think she can help.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it's what they're missing. Like, to your point. And it's also, sometimes it's like, why not? Like, why not shake it up?
That part.
Well, what are you going to lose? Like,
yes.
Especially, you know, just going quickly back to Chicago, I love how Teaspoon switched up the lineup. Like, the starting lineup needed to change. It needed to tweak. And I think Atlanta's right now, they're at a tweaking moment. Let's see who is that second person off the bench. What is the lineup collectively that works? So we'll see. But right now they're sitting at seven. So if the season ended today, they're in the playoffs. But I don't think they've played their best basketball yet.
I don't either. That. No, they absolutely have not. No, not that. Even close.
We were really, really high on them coming into this season. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like personal. Yeah, it's like personal. We're like, this isn't what we thought it was going to be. I know. Like,
we couldn't have been this off.
I know. Again. Last year, our predictions were atrocious. Ooh. But
yours were atrocious. Mine were not atrocious last year. Mine I had a few that were bad. Mine I had a few that were bad, though.
And were really bad. Okay. Well, Atlanta. Keep Atlanta. Going. Get it together.
We need something.
Jordan Canada, I know you're going to help this team. But quickly on the Mercury, they're sitting at 500. And here's my observation about the Mercury. Such a fun team. I mentioned it earlier. You know, we're talking about the Liberty and the Lynx, two of the top teams in the league. What do they have in common? They both lost to Phoenix, because Phoenix can come out and they have all the pieces and the experience to upset a team like that.
Yeah.
But then they'll turn around and shoot like 17% from three or something crazy. Like, live and die by the three-point line is a hard way to live. And sometimes it's been inconsistent for them throughout the week. And that's why they're at 500. They're just like, even Steven, you don't know which one it's going to be. But I don't have any worries when it comes later to the season. If there needs to be a playoff push, this is the squad I want to roll with.
Without question.
If you're towards the bottom, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they have that, they got that veteran squad, mm-hmm. right? The veteran leadership. You got Tosh Cloud running the team, mm-hmm. who you remember last week. I said Tosh, I would put her on the Olympic team as a point guard.
Yeah.
Dang. But you got Tosh, you got Kai, you got DT, you got BG, you got CC, you got TT. They're going to be like, who is CC? No, but they do. And if you're a team that's on the bubble and you're trying to make that push to win some games, to get over the hump and make the playoffs, I'll take my chances with this Phoenix Mercury team.
Yeah. I have the same kind of feelings about Seattle. How are you feeling about Seattle right now? Because they're sitting at number four and they had a rough start. And mm-hmm. now they just, mm-hmm. they seem like they are like, okay, let's shake that off. Where we know who we are a little bit. They're still trying to figure it out, but they're getting closer.
They are. They're trying to figure it out. You know what I think when, I know Jewel is going to do Jewel, mm-hmm. right? But to me, when Nneka Ogumike is doing Nneka Ogumike type things and she's feeling good and she's playing well, I feel like Seattle is a different team.
Hmm.
I think Skylar looks good. I think Skylar's still trying to get back in the flow of things, the swing of things. And let me just say this for people who don't know. It is so hard to have a child, let alone two. She has two, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is so hard to have a child and come back and do what she's doing. Do what we do at such a high level in the best league in the world, the best competition in the world. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. You had a whole nother human inside your body.
I know, that's crazy.
You know what I mean? And yeah, like, so there's a lot, like, I went through it. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happens to your body, not just physically, but the mental aspect of knowing the road ahead, right? Like, mm-hmm. what it's going to be to come back. And it's not just about coming back where you can just play. It's about coming back where you can dominate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, like, kudos to Skylar, because I think what she's doing right now is just showing all kinds of superwoman, Wonder Woman strength. And I love to see it. And she's only, I say all of that because she's only going to get better with each and every game they play.
Yes.
Shout out, Sky.
Shout out. I hope just after the game, she just looks at herself in the mirror, like as she's holding her two kids, and she's like, you are that girl. Like, I hope she says those affirmations, because it is.
I'm a bad mama jamma.
Shut your mouth.
No doubt.
Yes. Absolutely. And they... I think something you said that really stuck out to me was, you know, you're not just coming back to a role player role. You know, you're not coming back to be on the bench or maybe sixth player of the year. She is coming back to be an anchor of this squad and was brought in with these expectations of, hey, we were really bad last season. We're bringing you in so we can be back in contention. Yeah. Like, there's no middle ground. We brought you here for this.
We expect you to get us there.
Good point. That's a good point. Woo! Couldn't be me. Good for her.
It could be. It could be you.
Woo!
It could be you. But and in saying that, shout out to Noelle Quinn.
Yeah.
Because I know she did an interview and she talked about where Sky is and where she's going and why she's there and how much she respects her. So, you know, in situations like that, Jordan, you also have to play for the right coach.
Yeah.
Because not every coach gets that and understands that. But Noe Quinny does.
Love that. Yep. Seattle's at 10-6 right now. I think they're going to keep working out some kinks, but that's a good spot for them. I can see them just hovering around the fourth spot for majority of the year. I think for Seattle, because we're just framing this as, you know, if the season ended today, it's going to be that playoff matchup. Who who mm-hmm. are they going to get mm-hmm. in that first round? That's going to be curious. That's what I'm curious about, depending on how yep. far they can go, if that makes sense. But also that yep. veteran leadership, they've all been there before. They know what it takes. So that's going to be exciting. And we talked about Minnesota, who's sitting at third. The Sun at number two. I want to hear your thoughts. They dropped two games in a row for the first time this season. I don't know if you caught those games, but what's the difference between the Sun that are on a roll, winning, was clear cut number one, to these last couple games?
Jordan, you said it when you were talking about Seattle. Like, sometimes it's just about matchups. Mm-hmm. Like the Aces, they just have Connecticut's number.
Yeah,
they and do. I did see that game, and I don't know if you remember just seeing AT every time Asia scored.
There's like a compilation of that on Twitter, by the gosh. Way.
It's like, hilarious. Yeah, it's like somebody just kept like poking a hole in her tire, letting the air out. Every time Asia scored, yeah, it was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and sometimes, like, honestly, like, sometimes you just can't do anything about it. It's mm-hmm. all about matchups. Mm-hmm. And Connecticut struggles with the Aces. Mm-hmm. And this is where, because we have said this before, too. I know Dejanay's having an incredible season. Ty Harris having an incredible season.
Yes, she is.
For me, one of those two right now, most improved. Mm-hmm. That's for me.
Yes.
But even in saying that, this is where I say Connecticut is still missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think they're still missing like another big, because even AT is undersized for her position, which she plays 1 through 5, right?
Yes.
but against a team like Vegas, where you have Bree Jones defending Kia Stokes,
mm-hmm.
AT has to defend Asia. Right? Yeah. And that's where AT gets frustrated, because Asia's going to go on the block and Asia's going to do what she's doing. Not to mention the fact that there's nobody, I think, that can guard Asia right now.
Right.
Because Asia she's on a whole other planet.
Right. That's just a caveat.
but this is where I think having another big that can score, not just defend, but another big that can score for Connecticut, it kind of changes that matchup, right? You can mm-hmm. you can leave Bree Jones on Kia Stokes. If there's another big that can score for them, you can have her defend Asia, move AT on the perimeter, or even you start AT on Asia. But when you need a sub, you can bring another big in. She can guard Asia. AT can move on the perimeter. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I think they're kind of missing. I know they have Olivia Nelson Adota,
mm-hmm.
but I think there's that one thing they're still missing in mm-hmm. order to get over that hump.
And I think they did it with, you know, on the guard end with Veronica Burton, you know, signing her. I thought that was very much, you know, we talked about that at the beginning of this season when she got waived from Dallas. She needs to be on a team because she does something and she does it very well. And you go to a defensive minded squad like Connecticut, and they see that she can be that off the bench. Like, okay, we need a bench player to also shut down someone, and she is accepting that assignment. Now you're just saying they need that on the post end, but man, AT was so mad the whole time. She I didn't was. Mean to laugh, but I was just thinking about going into that locker room, like especially at halftime, and I was like, thank God I am not in that locker room. If I missed a couple of those switch assignments, or if I wasn't in the right position, she was yelling,
she was
pointing
hot.
At everyone.
She was hot.
Because I think she knows that the Aces have their number. Like, it's just, they are trying to get over that hump, and the Aces are just like, nah, sorry. Not today, not ever, not in the playoffs, not now. But still, I think Connecticut's going to be fine. They're sitting at number two, and that's where they always are. I know they want that number one spot, but they're where I expected them to be, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they started the season off so strong, and they're still playing well. Mm-hmm. They will. I agree with you. That's kind of where I had Connecticut. I think we. I don't know if we kind of slid over the aces there.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind of a surprise to me.
Yeah.
I didn't have them in the fifth spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. I had the aces number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Do it.
I think they like being at five. I don't think they mind it because they can make the climb and they can turn it around. I don't know if they want to be at five, but I don't know if they mind it for the overall arching story to go to a three-peat. I think especially the first championship, no one was calling them a super team. Then the second championship, oh, you're just a super team. You're supposed to be winning all these games. Now, if you say, okay, well, it's June 24th. They were at the fifth spot. They were losing a lot. And then come October, they're going to be climbing those ranks and getting back and could potentially go for a three-peat. So I don't think they mind it.
I don't either. But I don't think they mind it. But I know they don't like losing.
No, they don't like losing. No, absolutely not.
So, yeah, that's a surprise for me.
That is a surprise. Look, the basketball has been really good night in and night out. It's been fun to see how teams have started the season. This little temperature check where everyone is right now. Who's falling fast? Yo, Texas team. They are falling fast.
They're falling. They're falling real fast, Jordan.
Real fast. Hopefully, Arike can, hop on the wings. Hop on the wings of the mascot.
Arike's been doing her thing.
Oh, she's going to do great. And I hope she's an all-star. My prediction, if you guys remember at the beginning of the season, was Arike going for MVP. She's putting up MVP numbers, but
that record ain't helping her case.
But any last thoughts as we wrap up here? This was a jam-packed episode.
There's so much going on. I mean, just to kind of reiterate a couple of things that we said, because I want to leave it here. Cam,
mm-hmm.
We got you, praying for you, lifting you up, keep your head up. You will come back from this. Salute, we love you. Wrapping our arms around you, sending you great big hugs. We got you too. And it's been a fun. This was great. It's just been fun.
It has been.
I love you too, Jordan.
I need to tell you that. Well, just to
you always put a smile on my face.
Oh, thank you.
Even when I'm in a bad mood, you always put a smile on my face.
I try. And I want to just bring it full circle with the top of the show. I'm so happy you got that standing ovation. You deserve it. I feel like I call you a friend and a mentor and someone to lean on in this business. And I just love your relationship with Angel. And when I just see everything that's going around with her having this great game, I just want to wrap my arms around her always. Mm-hmm. We talk about that. Mm-hmm. We talked about that with the Leah Boston, just like we want to shield her from everything. And so when I saw that hug on TV, it was like, yes, that was all of us just wrapping our arms around Angel Reese.
That's
so
kind of- It was For me, special. That's what I felt, right? Special. Just like I said, with all the ugliness that's been out there. And that's why I said it. And it wasn't just for Angel, because the part that you didn't see, right, was at halftime when the game was over, I had a conversation with Kelsey and with Aaliyah and gave both of them big hugs. Mm-hmm. And, that's just kind of who I am. I want nothing but the best for everybody, mm-hmm. for every player in this league. It's just stuff that's been going on towards Angel has been too much.
It has been too much.
It's been a lot. And in that moment, I felt like a proud mom. And I wanted to just say, listen, I hear you. I see you. I feel you. And I got you.
Mm. Perfect way to end. We love you guys for listening. We got you on all things WNBA. Thanks for following along We see all of your tweets, messages, your emails. Keep them coming. We love them. Continue to follow, rate, review the show. It's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also send us any questions, feedback, and stories. Please share your stories. We love those. To our listener email address, queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
And absolutely, to that point, we do love you. Thank you, y'all, for subscribing and for just keeping a smile on our face. It does. It means a lot when we hear from you. And y'all know where you can find us on social media. I'm at AirSwoops22. And she, her, Jordan, let me take a deep breath, is at... Hey, Jordan R. You messed me up.
It was because you took a deep breath and then you exhaled.
I had to.
Oh, it was hilarious. Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
Oh my gosh. This show is produced by Alex Ozzie. The executive producers are Maddie Sprung-Kaiser and Leah Reese Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple. Music from T-Storm Battle. And like always, a very special shout out and thanks to Lena Moss Glazer.
And Court.
And Court.
Is adjourned.
Is adjourned.
It's a long court session today.